Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. We thank you for listening, as always, we thank you for listening, whichever you prefer. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning.
Good morning, y'all.
Pretty good for a Canadian right there.
Hey, I'm getting it. Took 20 years, but I'm getting it.
I was going to say, it's about time.
What? Fred just said it naturally.
I know.
It was pretty good.
It was a little bit, okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good. But on the scale of, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, that was about a 6.
It was about a 6 because I think what he really wanted to say was, after it, eh? Good morning, y'all. Eh?
Sometimes I'll be bilingual next time. Okay.
Fred lives so far north, people in New Hampshire called him a Yankee.
That's right.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about, as you might expect. What happened in Alabama yesterday was they had a primary. Jeff Sessions, the new attorney general, was the senator from Alabama, and that seat needed to be replaced, still needs to be replaced permanently. And they had a Republican primary in Alabama yesterday, and the gentleman who got the most votes is on the phone with us, and that is our good friend Judge Roy Moore. Joins us from Montgomery. Judge, good morning to you.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
This is Tim. Are you in Montgomery or you in your hometown?
I'm in Montgomery.
Okay. But you're from North Alabama, right?
I am. I'm about 2 hours north from Montgomery.
Right.
Yes, in a little community called Gallup.
Hey, what were the final numbers last night?
Well, it was about, I think we got nearly 30%, and nearly 40%. The next person got about 30%, somewhere around there. And is it 7 to 8 to 10 points ahead I was.
Now, you're going to have so the top two, because nobody got 50%, the top two, Mr. Strange and yourself, will have in September, you'll have a runoff?
That's right, September 26th.
Okay. What are you going to be doing between now and then?
Probably working.
I mean, you're going to be going around the state, or are you going to? What are you going to be doing?
Well, we're going to be going around the state. We've been going around the state, but I think we'll do it a little differently. Maybe we'll have a little different tack. We're going to meet today to discuss that, but we'll be doing basically the same thing, campaigning.
Okay, and I know the Republican establishment money's going to roll in for you right now and get behind your campaign. Mitch McConnell has probably been on the phone with him this morning, hadn't you?
He's had a change of heart. quite frankly, the sad part of it is we're reached such a low level of ethical standards. And money is pouring into my opponent's campaign. They've pledged $6 to $8 million more, and all they do is negative advertising and attacking you by something you might have done 20 years ago. And it's just really dirty politics tonight.
Well,
it's to you. Present it.
Yeah, well, Judge, congratulations on your coming out in first place last night. Didn't get a majority. I know you would have liked to have done that. But with so many people in the race, the likelihood of that happening was very low. But you go forward, and we wish you the best and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Well, thank you. We are doing well. I mean, we won, basically, and had $5.6 million against us, and we all raised about 500-something thousand. And yet we were able to compete so well that we actually won. And that was with my opponent receiving a presidential endorsement and robocalls made by the president. Hmm. And that's, highly unusual. Mm-hmm. But I wish I could see what the president explained to him, that I do support the things he's laid out, and it's Congress itself which is trying to halt that.
Yeah, I don't think President Trump, with all due respect to him, fully engaged or fully understands the nature of the race. I know he knows Senator, interim Senator Strange, because he worked with him some. But the people in the state know the differences, the ideological differences between the candidates, and that showed up yesterday. Anyway, well, hey, listen, thank you. Appreciate you being on with us, Judge. God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your assistance. Thank you for what y'all do.
Yeah.
Y'all are very important to people, and they do listen to you, and AFA has a tremendous network. We appreciate your stand on family and moral values. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate it. That's Judge Roy Moore joining us from Montgomery. He came in first place in the yesterday in the Republican primary. Just for full disclosure here, I did personally endorse the judge for in the race yesterday. I'm sure there are a lot of other fine candidates, but we've known Judge Moore for a long time, and he is certainly worthy of, and that was me personally, Tim Wildman, not the ministry, AFA.
And also we're inviting the his opponent on in the primary, Luther Strange, Senator Strange on.
Yes.
We're going to invite him
on. So we've invited
him
on too?
Yes.
We're going to invite him on?
Yes.
To be fair?
Be fair. We're going to be fair.
Okay.
But this is to get into the politics of this race here in Alabama. You know, we talk about how, look, Senator Strange, I'm sure he stands for some good things for the most part. And we probably agree on a lot of things. But when it comes to getting the work done and doing whatever we need to do to get the work done, you see this is the race where you have a Republican who might get to Washington, and we don't know what they're going to do. But they campaign on Republican principles and the Republican platform, and they go to Washington, and we're not sure what they're going to do. We know with Judge Moore, with his track record, when he says something, he's going to do it, just like Senator Cruz does. And so this is one of those important races where, you know, folks might end up voting for the establishment type, but they're going to be frustrated when he gets to Washington, and he might not do what he says he's going to do.
Well, Senator Strange is for the filibuster. He's for the 60 votes needed to pass anything in the Senate, which I have a real problem with. We've mentioned that many times before. Won't go into that. As long as you're for the 60-vote threshold, you are in essence saying, I'm good with nothing getting done the entire time President Trump is in office. If that's your view, that's fine. You're free to hold that view. But I think you need to tell the public, and I think Senator Strange has told the public, he's in favor of having to have 8 Democrats to pass anything. And so that's the stand they take. I completely disagree with that. I think that's needs to be done away with, the filibuster, because it's not in the Constitution, and it brings the Senate to a complete. There's no reason for them to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Just put gone fishing on the Senate door and go home, because you're wasting time. Because you know you're not going to get 8 Democrats to vote for anything that the president or the Republicans.
Yeah, we're 7 months into the new year,
right.
The Trump administration. And the House and the Senate have not even gotten a budget passed. We're coming up here. We're going to have another continuing resolution. They're going to kick the can down the road again.
Right. That poor can.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't even recognize it anymore. It started out as a Pepsi can. You can't even, huh?
Yeah.
It's shattered and tattered now. If you're for the 60, I know there are going to be senators who say, well, Tim, you don't understand. When we're in the minority, we're going to be glad we have this filibuster. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to stop a lot of bad stuff. I would just say the day for that, the moment for that is past. It's now or nothing. It's now or nothing. You may not ever get another Republican president and Republican Congress.
I'll just go on the record.
Yeah, go ahead.
I guarantee if the Democrats take back the House and the Senate and the White House, they will end the filibuster.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm just gonna say that right now. I guarantee they will.
Sure, they will. Sure, they will. But like they did for the federal judges,
and like Harry Reid
did for presidential appointments,
said they would have to do it.
Yeah.
When he was assuming that Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency,
right?
He was saying, "Look, we're going to have to adapt with the times, and we're going to have to change these rules because nothing's getting done."
Right.
I'm just telling you, this is so, like you so said, you it's need, now or never.
Right. It's now or never. So you need to, but I think the Republican senators who are in favor of maintaining needing 8 Democrats to pass anything need to be fair and say we will. I just want to tell you folks, the likelihood of passing anything is 0, or maybe 1 or 2%.
Right.
That's going to be helpful to our country or that President Trump ran on. I think the Republican senators who are in favor of keeping 60 votes need to tell everybody, look, we're not going to get squat done. So don't ask me about it again, because that's just the way it is. But we're saving that filibuster for 4 years from now when we're probably going to need it. Who's with me? Huh? Is that a plan?
Yeah.
Let's hit the field, guys.
Yeah.
I want to play defense all day, every day.
We're not going to do anything.
We're not going to do anything
until we lose the Senate.
And then we'll do something.
Then, Patsy, we're gonna resist.
That's the attitude.
Yeah.
That's the attitude. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Our opinions, we don't have many. They're soft. Ed and I are...
Yeah, I'm soft-spoken.
You're soft-spoken. Soft-spoken Italian right here. All right, Fred, we're 16, almost 17 minutes into the program now, and you have a role now, Fred.
Yeah,
tell us what's going on in the world.
I'm chawing at the bit here.
Y'all,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead,
yesterday,
Fred.
Yesterday afternoon, President Donald Trump, as a lot of people know, is in New York for a few days. And he came down to the lobby of his hotel, Trump Tower, there. And he had several members of his cabinet because they had just held a cabinet meeting. And he was holding a press conference to announce his intention to really cut back on the regulations it takes to go forward with his infrastructure program, road building, bridge building, et cetera, et cetera. And so he made his statements. And he said, we're going to really cut back on regulations. And he did a little bit of, I guess, theater here. He had a long list of it. He says it takes about 17 years to get approval to build a road these days. And he's going to cut it back to about 2 years. And then he opened it up for questions. And presumably, you know, I'm not sure if he presumed this, but normally you would get questions about infrastructure. Well, the media that was gathered there, and it shouldn't be a surprise to us, they don't want to ask questions about roads and bridges. They wanted to go back to last weekend and question why President Trump was so slow to respond to...
Or so they say.
So they say. That was...
Not everybody agrees with that analysis.
Oh, no. That was the course of their questions. And President Trump decided he was going to set the record straight where he stands. You will remember the initial response did not mention KKK, alt-right, white nationalists. He just said, it's terrible what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's terrible that that young lady was killed by this driver. And I condemn all
violence,
hatred, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
On all sides.
And then there was a further statement on Sunday saying specifically, I condemn the KKK, those groups.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yesterday, in response to one of those questions, how come you weren't more specific the first time? He decided to respond, and he took out a piece of paper out of his pocket. So it's almost like he was ready for this. Here's what I said initially in this. And then we have about a minute 20 of the press conference yesterday, where he said, I responded initially based on the knowledge that I had at that point, because the protests weren't over at that point. And then I was able to clarify further by Sunday when I knew more details. This is a little smattering of how it sounded at this news conference yesterday.
What did you, Mr. President?
As I said on, remember this, Saturday, we condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. It has no place in America. And then I went on from there. Now, here's the thing, excuse me, take it nice and easy. Here's the thing. When I make a statement, I like to be correct. I want the facts. This event just happened. In fact, a lot of the event didn't even happen yet as we were speaking. This event just happened. Before I make a statement, I need the facts. So I don't want to rush into a statement. So making the statement when I made it was excellent. In fact, the young woman who I hear is a fantastic young woman, and it was on NBC, her mother wrote me and said through, I guess, Twitter, social media, the nicest things, and I very much appreciated that. I hear she was a fine, really, actually, an incredible young woman. But her mother on Twitter thanked me for what I said. And honestly, if the press were not fake, and if it was honest, the press would have said what I said was very nice. But unlike you and unlike the media, before I make a statement, I like to know the facts.
I tell you, I watched that press conference yesterday. Mm-hmm. I thought President Trump did an outstanding job. Now, he's not the most articulate sometimes. Let me say this. An outstanding job making points that needed to be made about the whole sequence of events that happened over the weekend. The president sometimes does, he isn't always as specific. Ed, and you and I have talked about this. Sometimes he could help himself if he were more specific
and clearer. The point he made. Now, clearer. here's the one of the things that he said in referring back in, because this is all the media wanted to talk about at the press conference.
They don't want to talk about roads and bridges and jobs.
So he was saying that there were bad people on both sides of the clashes that happened in Charlottesville, and he said, and there were nice people on both sides. Now, when I was watching that, I took that to mean he was talking, because he was specifically talking about there were people in the initial protest group that had the permit who wanted to protest taking down the statue. And he was trying to make the point that not all those people were Nazis and white supremacists. There were nice people there who just wanted to say, I don't want this statue being taken down in the park, renamed. Well, the media assumed, and everyone assumed, that he was talking about that there are good Nazis and there are good white supremacists. In fact, Mitch McConnell released a statement. Now, I didn't have a very high opinion of Mitch McConnell. I haven't for a long time, just because of the slowness and the obstruction in the Senate. But I'm down in single digits now with the Senate Majority Leader. He says in a statement, we can have no tolerance for an ideology of racial hatred. There are no good neo-Nazis. Now, to me, that is the Senate Majority Leader.
Somebody give me some medicine. Stabbing, right now, Fred, give me some medicine.
Stabbing in the back the president of his own party, when I guarantee you Mitch McConnell knows that's not what the president meant. He wasn't saying there are some good neo-Nazis. No. There's some good fascists. I'd like to have them over for a barbecue at the White House. For Mitch McConnell to say this, and for others like Marco Rubio and others who have joined Mitch McConnell.
Paul Ryan. Shameful.
It is. It's shameful. Now, listen, if I thought the president was saying that members of the Ku Klux Klan, you can have some nice guys in there, yeah. I'd be saying, listen, you just have to Google pictures of lynchings. Yeah. You can see that what the KKK did in this country was vile. Anybody who believes in that kind of thing is human garbage. But that is not what the president meant, and I think Mitch McConnell knew it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The president is being unnecessarily vilified, and here's why. The left, the establishment, most of the Republican Party, and I say most of the Republican Party, a small fraction stand with President Trump on stuff like this.
Yeah.
The majority of the Republican Party, all of the Democrats, the entire Hollywood, all of the media, and half of America all hate President Trump. The Republicans will not say it as plain as the left will and the Democrats, but they hate him. They don't want to get anything done. They want to keep the status quo, and anything to bring him down, they're in favor of. So all the Republicans jumped on board and bashing Trump because it all serves their agenda.
And hey, by the way, tell the folks about Facebook, Walker, and then Fred can comment. What we're doing on Facebook.
Yes, we're live streaming.
Today's Issues.
Yes, we're live streaming on Today's Issues Facebook page. And if you want to see us physically get angry in here, then you can go there and watch
what's,
the show.
What's happening is, you're right, the Republican establishment now is using this opportunity to bash their own president over the head when they know full well, this, as Ed just said, the president's position on this is very defensible and very fair. And he made it clear. And they're jumping on him with the liberal media because they're cowards. And they're scared of the liberal media.
Right.
Or either they're like y'all have talked about, they want to bring President Trump down themselves. And go ahead, Fred.
Well, kind of echo what you're saying here. Here's what's shocking. If you watched, if you took the time yourself to watch that news conference yesterday, as Ed is saying, it's very clear the context as to what President Trump was saying. There were bad people on each side, but there were good people as well. The good people there just who had the permit to do the original protest, they just don't like the idea. The lawful ones tearing down. Then you have these other unlawful ones who were there. They showed up with baseball bats and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And here, I honestly believe this. They're being totally dishonest.
Who's they?
They being anybody who criticized the president yesterday. Those reporters are well aware of the context in which the president was speaking.
Right.
But they can't, they refuse to be honest about it because there's a narrative. There is a narrative they're trying to put out to the American public that Donald Trump is a racist.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what Trump says or doesn't say. It doesn't matter what Trump does or doesn't do. And I agree with Walker. They're going to find a way to spin it. To put the most negative light on things. What's shocking, and to your point, Ed, is that we have McConnell and Paul Ryan and Senator Rubio. These are smart people, too.
Yeah.
Again, if you watched the whole news conference yesterday, the context is very, very clear. He was not endorsing the KKK or praising them for what they did. No way. And he's being honest about the violence perpetrated from the other side. And the other thing in all of this, this young lady died. I think the governor of Virginia and the mayor of Charlottesville, if I was the family of that young girl, I would be suing them. Because the other aspect to this story is those police officers were ordered to stand down and not interfere.
I was surprised when I watched the video of the clashes, because it's all over the place, people with their phones. I was surprised at you have the people marching through, and then the protesters are 2 feet away.
Yeah.
And they would reach in and they'd swat and then fights would break out. And I thought, what were you expecting was going to happen for the police to stand down? There should have been barricades and the protesters are there to protest. You know, I'll give most of them the benefit of the doubt. They were there to protest against white supremacists and the KKK and Nazis. I can't stand the neo-Nazi movement, okay? They were there to protest it, but you keep them behind barricades. You're just asking for trouble.
Here's the other thing, part of the narrative, because President Trump yesterday used the term alt-left.
Yeah.
They went crazy, the media, over that.
Yeah.
Because in their peanut-sized brains, nobody on the left is bad. Nobody. So don't you dare term them bad people, but because they use the term alt-right.
Yes.
That's used all the time. It's kind of like liberals won't call themselves liberals. They're progressive.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a very sinister movement we have going on in this country right now to change the country. Barack Obama changed the country, changed the world. That movement is still very much alive.
Right. Well, I think you're right earlier. We know the people who hate President Trump already and his, you know, and anything he wants to get done. To me, for the most of the liberal media, I don't know why they covered this story, because they've already concluded that he's a racist bigot, right?
Yeah, and his
so what's the point in going
pals with
just say it every day?
Neo-Nazis.
Just say President Trump is a racist bigot. This is Tuesday, Wednesday, President Trump is a racist bigot. Thursday, there's no need to cover a story like this. What are you trying to prove your point?
Yeah,
that the you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Yeah. On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
Do you remember when Jesus said you can't put new wine in old wineskins? That was a reference to the fact that people are reluctant to give up traditions and habits and rituals.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
You know, the Bible describes Jesus' last days on planet Earth. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel, the Holy Land, March 8th through the 16th. And we'll be visiting those places that the Bible mentions in Jesus' last days, including his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is on the Mount of Olives. We're also going to go to the house of Caiaphas and see the very steps that Jesus walked on his way there from the Garden of Gethsemane. And then finally, that day we'll be going to the Via Dolorosa, the path that Jesus walked to the cross. So it's going to be a fantastic time in Israel as we see what happened to Jesus and we talk about the hope that we have in his resurrection. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. Or call 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. As much as I hate neo-Nazis and white supremacists, they do have constitutional rights. They applied for and were granted a permit to hold a protest rally. That's what the law allows. The law does not allow counter-protesters armed with baseball bats to physically stop speech they find repulsive. That's what President Trump was trying to convey on Tuesday. But the mainstream media and the left argued there is no moral equivalency. If you listened closely to the rhetoric last night, you would have heard journalists making the case it's permissible for Antifa to use force to silence speech they oppose. That could be why the mainstream media turned a blind eye when conservatives were bloodied and beaten in San Jose and Berkeley, or when white people were singled out and attacked in Milwaukee last year. That's what happens when identity politics infects a nation. Hate is hate, and it must be condemned, left or right, black or white. I'm Todd Starnes.
Brian Fisher here. Everybody is still talking about President Trump's press conference yesterday. Did he have a point or was he totally wrong? We'll talk about that. And we have a winnable war moment in Alabama as Judge Roy Moore outpolls the swamp candidate with all of his money. That and more today on Focal Point at 105 Central.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Get your NPR voice. Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with David Taglione and Walker Wildman. Thank you for listening. We kicked Fred Jackson out and brought in Abraham Hamilton III. Fred, what's your full name? Fred?
Samuel.
Frederick Samuel? So we need to introduce him that way. If we're going to have Abraham Hamilton III, Fred needs at least to have
Frederick Samuel Jackson.
He needs to have all his. Hey, that sounds like the actor. You know the Snakes on Planes guy?
Samuel L. Samuel L. Jackson.
Isn't that his name?
Well, you're talking about the.
What's
the,
in your wallet?
You're talking about the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Huh?
On the Avengers movies.
Is that he? That really?
Yeah.
Boy, first rabbit trail, 30 seconds in.
Yeah. You know, Ed gets me on these rabbit trails. And you do.
Blame it on Ed. Yeah, because you don't ever send us on a rabbit trail.
You do this on purpose, don't you, Ed? Just to try to make me look bad as a journalist. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Abe Hamilton has a new program on AFR called the Hamilton Corner. How long have you been doing the show now?
This is week three.
This is week three.
And listen, I told him this morning, I listened on the way home to his show.
Yeah.
And he starts off with a Bible study, a little preaching thing. And he was rocking it last night on the way home.
You didn't want him to stop preaching.
It was really good. I mean, I told him, I said, man, I was blessed by it.
Would you tell him if it was average, though?
Well, it's the first time I've ever mentioned it to him, so you draw your own conclusions.
It was really good, Abe. If you're ever average, Ed will tell you.
Well, he won't tell me.
Or I won't tell you. I'll say nothing about your show. Caught your show last night.
Ed didn't compliment me this morning. I must have been average yesterday. All right, so you've been doing the program on American Family Radio. Our friend Crane Durham did the show for 10 years. Mm. Crane was a good brother, and we had a wonderful parting of the ways, if you will. Wonderful parting of the ways, if you can do that. But Crane's moving on, and we're moving on here. There's nothing happening. Crane's a great Christian man.
Right.
We just decided, hey, we needed to change. We wanted to do something different. And Abe works for us here. Hey, and he has a gift. And
most days he has a gift.
So let's give the Hamilton Corner their hour. So you guys are only in the afternoon. I must say, you guys, you and your team, your producer, and everything like that. What is your everyday? What is your mission and purpose and goal for the hour on the Hamilton Corner?
Yeah, my goal is to address the issues of the day, but to do so through a biblical framework. I think it's really easy, and including myself in this too. It's really easy to get bogged down in the political conversations and sever that from our biblical moorings. And so my desire and my goal is to try to navigate the issues of the day, but to do so through a biblical lens and to develop a grid that will enable us to continually and consistently do that on a regular basis and ultimately use the things that we face in an effort to convey first of all, live the gospel, and secondarily, to convey the gospel in our culture.
Okay, as an African-American man, which you are, true?
Unless you self-identify as something else.
I was making a point.
Is that a trick question?
I was trying to be funny, but
I was waiting on the punchline.
It didn't work. I want to ask you, what do you think about the racial situation in our country? That's a broad general question, I know, mm-hmm. but I'm saying, when you see something like what happened in Charlottesville, you know, mm-hmm. you can't even sort of fairly try to look at things. You've got to come down on one side or the other. There's only one side to come down on. So what do you think about what's going on?
Yeah, well, you know, I reject that as a false binary choice. I actually talked about this on a Hamilton Corner about the fact that, biblically speaking, there's no such thing as multiple races of human beings. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Repeat that again. What now?
Yeah, biblically speaking, which is the only source of truth in our society, mm-hmm. There's no such thing as multiple races of human beings. So I reject, based on the scripture, a false binary choice of coming down on one side or the other. There's no such thing as one side or the other. There is truth and there are lies. And so there are not multiple sides to this. So based on that standpoint, I inherently reject that notion of a binary choice. As y'all know, I'm an attorney as well. I wholeheartedly support the First Amendment right to freely assemble. And I think, quite frankly, when you see, you know, the usual players, Antifa, you see all these various groups rallying around, I think one of the things that we face the risk of is, in the midst of this societal furor, people clamping down on our First Amendment liberties. And so I think
What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, today you march on monuments, tomorrow it's the cross. Today you march on rallies, tomorrow it's church gatherings. So I think this could be promulgated in a very fascistic attempt to clamp down on our rights of freedom of assembly and the free exercise of religion. That being said, though, I think something that gets lost in the conversation is that the original source of the gathering in Charlottesville began with the Friday night march by a group of people. Though I wholeheartedly defend their right to peaceably assemble, I can at the same time denounce and condemn the people who are assembling. Very similar to, as a Christian man, I will fight to the ends for the free exercise of religion, but at the same time, I will rebuke a Russell Moore for advocating for mosque building, because I believe that it is not only a totalitarian ideology, I believe it is demonically inspired. So I think we have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time and not allow the culture to force us into an opinion.
Now, was there a difference? What I understood the Saturday rally in Charlottesville was about with Walker, you said you read where 200 people attended?
200 roughly. Folks were rallying to keep the Robert E. Lee Memorial.
When they signed up to get their permit.
Right.
In Charlottesville, this was the purpose of their meeting, of their gathering, right?
Yes, and some of those folks were white supremacists.
Well, the guy, Jason Kessler, who organized it,
right.
Is he a white supremacist?
He's
a white supremacist. So the guy who got the permit was a white supremacist.
Right.
Okay. Well, okay. So his views are racist.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He would be like, I don't know if he's technically part of the Ku Klux Klan, but
somewhere
I
read he was for President Obama. I mean, for Hillary Clinton. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I don't think he.
Did you read that?
No, okay. I didn't.
Anyway, here's the. So that's a problem. That's a viewpoint that is anti-Christian.
Yes, and they but a lot of
and,
times
and
will
is
use
considered hateful.
It will use Christianity and use the Bible and use the name of Jesus.
That's
to promote
why KKK
their views.
Uses crosses.
Yes,
burns crosses. Okay, so you got that situation. The Friday night was different.
No, the Friday night was the exact same thing. It was a march on the university campus. In a build-up to the rally that was occur on Saturday.
So they had a couple hundred people at this rally. As I've argued before, and we're talking about some heavy stuff right here, but I would have argued that if nobody had shown up at the meeting and the 200 people had their rally, they'd packed their flags up and gone home, and nobody had ever heard. That happens a lot. Hmm. But instead, what happened here was these people had the meeting. Now, some of them, I don't know, who knows, you'd have to do a survey. Some of them would not have been KKK types. Maybe they were people who didn't want to see the Robert E. Lee statue brought down or the park renamed. Now, some would say, well, that's racist in and of itself, just wanting to maintain Robert E. Lee's name associated with anything because he was a general in the Confederate Army or leader of the Confederate Army. As some would say, that's an argument for another day. But fact is, as you said, these people had a permit, right? Whether you agree or disagree with their message or what they're standing for, they had a permit. The people who attacked them did not have a permit.
I don't think that having a permit is actually a pertinent point to continue to highlight because there are people that have lawful rights to do all types of things, but that doesn't mean we say, okay, you know.
So should the people who had the rally, should they just skip getting a permit?
No, I'm not saying that either. No, I'm saying them having a permit or not having a permit doesn't inherently justify or put them on a moral superior ground than anybody else.
No, I'm talking about the practical aspect of protecting the people from violence. Seems to me the purpose of a permit is to let the law enforcement know where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing, how many people you're expecting.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so if the group, their message... Maybe repulsive. I'm not saying, again, we're not arguing
about
that.
Well, it is repulsive. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Their message is repulsive.
That message is, I'm distinguishing between a person who has a racist KKK view
and somebody who doesn't.
And somebody who says, I don't think that bringing down the statue of Robert E. Lee is a good idea. I would distinguish those two views. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, some people may not distinguish between them, but I would distinguish between those two views. Now, the reason I brought the permit up is there's a purpose. There's a reason why cities and municipalities require that you get a permit.
Yeah.
For the reasons I mentioned, public safety, for example.
Right.
And
when
the other group, what's the name of the other groups?
I think there was just groups involved in protesting.
But they were organized in the sense that they knew they were supposed to show up.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, social media was used.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. When those people, that group, chose to go and confront those at the Robert E. Lee statue rally, they did not have a permit. They did not go through the lawful process. And so the police, I'm just giving the benefit of the doubt to police, although I think they're at fault here.
The decision makers who told them
You should have known the potential for conflict is great here and violence is great. So you need to separate these two groups. That's just basic police work, seems to me.
Especially if they show up with bats and
warrior
gear.
But I'm just saying, I'm looking at it as a maybe a person who's there among the 200 at the rally. And
which you wouldn't have been, but
I wouldn't have been. But I'm just seeing, I'm looking around, and all of a sudden I'm seeing people coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Then your fear takes over, and you know what I'm saying? And I'm just saying it was wrong for the police to allow the people without the permit to attack the people with the permit.
This is a separate. This is a separate discussion on whose ideology is flawed and whose is not. This is about how do we prevent, how do we allow flawed ideologies to have their First Amendment and not get in a fist fight and cars ramming into people.
Because this is where I come down on this. Because you made a great point. I hadn't really thought about that because I've been just thinking about the Washington Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial. What's next? But you mentioned the cross. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a growing number of people. It's not anywhere near a majority, but who hate the cross,
mm-hmm,
and what it stands for and what those gatherings. So I look at, it's like we mentioned Monday on the show, the Skokie, Illinois gathering of Nazis. The first one I ever remember where they had to go to federal court. And they got the right in Skokie, Illinois, because there is a Holocaust memorial there. So these neo-Nazis got the right to go, and they held their rally, okay? So that was, I despise what they did, but I remember saying, well, you have to let them do it because there's a First Amendment right. And to me, I'm trying to separate these issues because if we don't protect the right of Jason Kessler and the white supremacists to get a permit, mm-hmm, and have a peaceful assembly, the day may come when we didn't stand for First Amendment rights for speech. We'll be wondering where everyone is for First Amendment rights for religion. I hadn't thought about the cross being a symbol. What if they start saying the cross has got to come down and we're not going to let you gather at your churches. We're going to surround you and we're going to beat the doors down. That's the thing that I look at is the violent response to, I'm great with protesting Skokie, Illinois, or Charlottesville, protesting
or
abhorrent ideologies.
Event, if you wanted to organize and protest the pro Robert E. Lee statue,
do it. Have
your own rally.
Have at it. Mm-hmm.
Have your own rally and have 10,000 people who denounce it.
Yeah,
but law enforcement should have had those groups separated, and the fact that they didn't, no barricades, nothing. I think it was a wink, wink. I think they were saying these despicable people need a good beating. We need to drive them out of town. And so, hey, whatever happens, happens. And I'm just saying, for people who think that's okay, especially people who are conservative, be careful because they may come for Christians next. Not that I'm comparing Christians.
So you
and
think
the KKK.
That's kind of reading what the series of events or what happened there. It seems to me that's very likely that the police were told to stand down.
That's what all the reports are indicating.
Yeah, and so
the police are there. And
why else would you stand?
You stand down because you think those people need to be beat up.
Those people are white supremacist people.
They deserve to be, as you say. I'm just thinking, why else wouldn't you separate them unless you want to say, let them get what they deserve. We're not going to get involved. And if our officers get into a conflict with any young black males coming in from the other side and they happen to hurt them, then we got a whole nother issue to talk about. So better just not get involved. Just stand down and let the people who are at the rally.
And let me just reiterate. I think people who believe in KKK and white supremacist ideology and neo-Nazis, unless they repent, they're going straight to hell. And I don't want to sound self-righteous, but that is a deserved judgment.
You mean hate's a sin?
Yeah.
Yes. It is a vile ideology. So I don't want anyone to think that I am in any way defending what they believe or why they were gathering or what they were trying to say. But I think it is a very dangerous precedent if the Charlottesville authorities allowed violence to take place because they didn't like the message. I'm just telling you, the day may come when they come and they're standing outside AFA.
Right. All right. Today's Issues is the program on the American Family Radio Network. One other thought I wanted to ask you about. You did think that President Trump could have done a better job Saturday with his statement.
Yeah, I thought his second statement should have been his first statement. Okay. Because, again, being able to walk and chew gum at the same time. I think, I don't think the president every single day needs to wake up, hey, today's Thursday, denounce white supremacy. Friday, denounce white supremacy. Yeah. No, I don't think he needs to do that. But because of the events happening in our nation, I felt like it presented an opportunity for the president to lead. And at the same time, announcing and celebrating the right to free assembly, condemning hateful, divisive ideology of white supremacy. Very similar to the way that the president so consistently and forcefully came out condemning Islamic totalitarian ideology. Obviously, it's not a crime to be a Muslim in America, but it is a crime to have an ideology that is hostile to the American fabric, where there's violence that follows that ideology. Here we have, you know, a white supremacist, a self-avowed white supremacist, who drove his car into a crowd that resulted in the death of a person. I think the president could have condemned white supremacy on Saturday while at the same time saying that we're not going to allow this to tear up our constitutional framework and use it as a transcendent moment to show his leadership for the whole country.
That would have satisfied the liberal media, don't you think?
I don't think it would have been if he would let me write it for him, they would have probably said yay and boo at the same time, because I think as you do so, it provides the platform for you to condemn all of these hateful ideologies, but the reticence, it appeared on its surface.
Let me ask you this, Abe. Do you think if he called out white supremacy for what it is on Saturday, in the same statement, does he need to call out the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter folks who were club welding?
Absolutely.
Or does he need to do that separately?
No, I think you can do it all, because these are people that all are contributing to the violence that's taking place. That I think you can do it all.
Okay.
But again, I think this gives an opportunity to do so right in that moment, whereas the refraining from doing so.
I would just say, too, we need to be thankful for some good things in our country as regards race relations, and that is the steps that have been made over the decades to a point where a man can be elected president, and he's an African-American male. When African-American males only make up 7% of the population. So they couldn't have voted him in. It would have taken a lot of people who were non-black, a lot of white people voted for President Obama. So I'm just saying, whether you agree with President Obama's political ideology, and I didn't, but the fact that he could draw the votes of millions and millions of people to put him over the top to win the presidency, that leader of the free world, and the fact that a KKK rally can draw the attention these people get for the minute, tiny number of people they have is just amazing to me. I know why it exists. It's the racial dynamic and the history of the country, but the media is looking for a good blood story.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
But
I mean,
sick.
I'm just saying that racial issues have been with mankind since the beginning of Earth, or since the Lord put people on Earth. And, well, maybe not then, because you'd only had one race. But you get the idea. You get the point, don't you, Ed?
We've had
hate in the heart of man since the dawn of humanity.
And I think it's an opportunity for the church, and sometimes we say this so often, I don't want it ever to become trite. But the church has a huge role to play in America in 2017. And what happened over the weekend is one of the reasons why the church has to figure out, you know, its own, you know, business, of course, but it needs to present the gospel to a country that increasingly is divided and increasingly is filled with hate and anger. And I haven't, like I've said on occasion, I haven't seen this since the 60s, And the problem is we have less God in the foundation of this country than we did in the 60s. And that was the 60s. I'm talking about the anti-war protests and sexual revolution. Well, I mean, that did as well, but I was talking about the...
Civil unrest?
The civil unrest over the Vietnam War.
I think the main message that we need to be hearing from the church right now is that we are all one race, the human race. Because as long as the media and even Christians continue to label each other as black, white, you know, Asian, whatever, then there'll always be that divide. We lay
we're
the divide.
We're Christians first, and we're Americans first.
I don't think there's anything. I've on occasion been asked, "Do you see skin color?" And I say, "Yes, I see skin color. I think we're meant to. I think God has made us different. We're one race, but He's made us different. It is an opportunity to have differences overcome or differences accepted." So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to tell Abe I don't see him as he's black. Just like I hope. When people see me, they say, he's Italian,
right?
You know, and so the question is, how do I treat Abe because he's black, or how am I treated because I'm white? And the church has to be able to say, we are one race. We may have different, you know, cultures. We may have different languages. We may have different customs. But God has called the body of Christ to love one another, and that's what God wants. I think that's what God wants us to see.
Yeah, but you start assigning motives to people, you better be careful. I think somebody cautioned about this last night on one of the television programs. You just need to be careful about. By that I mean, okay, let's say somebody says, "I'm against tearing down the Robert E. Lee statues." Is that an opinion that is not even worth hearing or accepting? But you're a racist to have that viewpoint. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? To say because you're in favor of something like that, therefore you are a racist. I don't know. President Trump made an interesting question. Maybe he said, well, we're going to take down the statues Washington. Of President, the monuments to Washington and Jefferson. Mm. The Civil War was it was over slavery and other issues, but if you look at if you read about the Civil War, it was very complicated to the people who were involved. Remember, you had a world without cell phones, you had a world without the internet, you had the world without communication hardly of any kind except maybe a weekly newspaper, and a lot of people who lived in the South at the time, the states that broke away. You had 20-25% of them slave owners. Mm-hmm. I think Mississippi was the highest with like 30 or something like that. So I'm saying the vast majority of people in the South did not own slaves. Now, they lived in a place where slaves were allowed to be held, but I'm saying they didn't own slaves. So you got, I know I'm rambling, I got a stream of consciousness going on here, but I'm trying to explain that the Civil War is much more complicated than just saying, all the Southerners were evil people because they had slavery in their midst. A lot of them viewed the Northerners, the Yankees, the Union soldiers, as invaders of their homeland, and they weren't necessarily there to defend slavery. It's a long, complicated story. Yeah. If you want to watch Ken Burns on the Civil War, you can learn a lot from that. So your show goes on this afternoon?
This evening.
5 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
5:05, actually, to be precise. Abe, thanks, brother.
No problem.
Ed?
I'm back.
Ed, the Italian stallion?
Yeah.
All right, Walker?
Yes, sir.
We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of Today's Issues, right?
That's right.
All right, check us out on Facebook, Today's Issues. See you back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.